Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
America's struggle with the legacy of slavery surfaces again and again. It did this week after Michelle Obama spoke about how slaves built the White House. Fox News host Bill O'Reilly said those slaves were, quote, well-fed and had decent lodging. Well, a new novel asks us to think about the moral implications of slavery a bit differently. It asks, what would America be like if slavery had never really ended? That's the unsettling world that novelist Bill Winters creates in Underground Airlines. Victor is the book's narrator. He's the troubled heart and soul of this alternate history. He's a bounty hunter who searches for escaped slaves. And Victor is also Black. Author Ben Winter joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
So let's just start at the beginning. Where were you? What was going on in the world in your life when you decided that you wanted to write a book like this?
Professionally, I was wrapping up the third in a trilogy of these sort of speculative fiction mystery novels that I had done. So as an artist, as an author, I was really looking forward to doing something else, using kind of mystery tropes and alternate history tropes. And then as a human, as an American, I was, and like so many of us, just continually shocked and horrified and distressed by incidences of police violence in African-American communities. And I guess I just began thinking and then researching and then writing about the origins of racism and racist violence in this country, which all emerges from slavery. So I that's where the book came from. It became an idea of taking this figurative idea, in a way, slavery is still with us, and making it literal.
Right. You know, and the other thing about your book is it just reminds us how, again, it's speculative fiction, but in truth, like history, the path that a nation takes, even individuals take, can really turn on a dime with just a couple little tweaks here to a timeline. I mean, for example, in your book, President Lincoln is assassinated in 1861. In the earliest days, wait, is it before?
He's on the way. He's on the way to be inaugurated. In my
That's
book,
right.
He's
in India.
He left Springfield, as he did in real life. He left Springfield on a train to go to Washington. He made stops along the way. In real life, he got there. In my novel, he is assassinated.
Right.
And now, in the present day, slavery remains in four southern states. And crucially to the novel, the Fugitive Slave Law, now called the Fugitive Persons Law, is still in force, meaning that as it was in antebellum times, if a slave escapes, it is the responsibility of local law enforcement to return him or her to their quote-unquote owner.
So that brings us to Victor, the main character in the book. He is a bounty hunter of slaves, but he's also Black. Tell us about Victor.
We find out fairly early on he is himself an escaped slave or a person born to labor, or PB, who was caught and instead of being returned, sort of forced to work for the United States Marshal Service as an undercover enforcer of the Fugitive Persons Law.
Well, there is a terrific passage in the book, Underground Airlines, where Victor describes a little bit about the reality of his life. And I'm wondering if you could just, if you could read that for us.
Sure. I am an undercover operative in a dangerous line of work, but understand that I am also an African-American male living in the United States of America. There are going to be checkpoints. I am going to get stopped. Every once in a while, I'm going to have to dump out my bag under the watchful eye of some kind of lawman, sheriff's deputy, patrol officer, state trooper, what have you. When that sort of BS happened, I had no choice but to submit. I had no badge, no ID. I was true undercover right down the line. If you saw the way I traveled, if you went through my suitcase or the trunk of my car, you'd think I was a thief, some kind of con man. Which I was, of course. Really, that's exactly what I was. I was a thief. I was some kind of con man.
Con man? I mean, who is Victor conning? I mean, himself? Everyone else around him?
Well, day to day, that's what he does for a living, right?
Yeah.
He cons people. He goes undercover and pretends to be someone that he is not to achieve an objective. But he is. He's conning himself because he tells us very early on that there is nothing he can do about his fate. He is resigned to his existence.
Mm. So there's a middle part of that passage where Victor says, there are going to be checkpoints. I am going to get stopped. Every once in a while, I'm going to have to dump out my bag under the watchful eye of some kind of lawman. Now, that could have been written as fact today. It didn't even need to be in a work of fiction, right? I mean, I'm sure many African-Americans feel that way. I'm just wondering, I mean, this brings us right to a question which I know you've grappled with and a lot of people have asked you. You're white. Why did you decide to write in the voice of a black man in the book?
Well, for this book, there could be no other point of view character. You know, it is a book very much about the history of anti-black racism in this country. And as you point out, Meghna, in that passage, that could very easily be written in a non-alternate history. I've started to think of this book as an alternate history that isn't alternate enough. So, yeah, I'm white. I am white, and I wrote this book because I think it is incumbent upon white people, white authors very much included, to think about racism, to grapple with racism, and to engage with it.
I take your point. And I mean, obviously, the story of slavery is one of the defining stories of America, and it is a story of black Americans and white Americans. But
that's right.
I'm curious about how you confronted the challenge or question of, could you write in an authentic voice, not being black yourself?
Yeah, I confronted it in the way that I think it is, you know, beholden upon any white person who is writing a character who is not white with extraordinary care and knowledge. I tried to steep myself in as much knowledge as I could steep myself in. One of the first things I read was this long article by Ta-Nehisi Coates in The Atlantic about reparations. I read Ralph Ellison and Toni Morrison and Octavia Butler. I mean, I tried to read as much African-American literature as I could, stories that in various ways expressed the black experience in America, and also just by talking to people, by knowing people, you know, and by living in the world. And when I got to a certain point working on the book, I had to just say, well, this is my main character. This is my guy. And I'm not going to try to create some quote unquote black voice or black way of thinking, because all you have to do is talk to more than one black person. You realize there is no such thing as a universal way that black people are and black people think, which isn't to say that black Americans aren't shaped by the BS that they put up with and the indignities and the inequalities and the fear of violence that they deal with every day. But it was important to me to write this book. I feel that the book has, you know, fallen down a rabbit hole here.
Well, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I think we'd all be better off if every American, regardless of race, engaged as deeply as they could with the history of racism and its effect on our present as a nation. So I don't mean to put you, you know, on the defensive here. I'm very, very, I'm in awe of the book. But obviously, I mean, it's a question that you've been asked a lot.
And you can tell it's not an easy question to answer. And
yeah.
I think it's important to acknowledge that there's sort of another level of issues here, which has to do with the fact that the attention that my book has gotten and sort of the framing of the book as being somehow pathbreaking or daring or whatever, when there are so many authors of color who have written about racism and even in sort of speculative or science fiction contexts and not received the attention. And so that enters into it, because I have to acknowledge that although my book I feel is valuable and it's about, in many ways, it's about white privilege, the book itself in a weird way becomes an example of that.
Well, I wonder what the process of researching, thinking about, talking to other people and writing this book, did that transform your understanding or how you view slavery and its effect on America today?
Yes. I mean, I think like a lot of white people, I think that I grew up with the idea that the most important thing was not to be racist, you know, to see everybody as equal. And I think that is obviously so. But I think that unlike many black people, I never had to deal with the sort of day-to-day racism that comes from not from just individuals being mean or being racist, but from institutions. And so once I began, my awareness of these things heightened and heightened and heightened and heightened as I was working on the book.
Hmm. Now, Ben, a lot of readers know you for your The Last Policeman trilogy, and I'm just wondering, with Underground Airlines, I got a sense that maybe there's the possibility of a sequel. Is it too soon to ask if you want to continue the story?
Yeah, I don't think so. Having spent several years writing a trilogy of novels all about how we behave under the specter of impending death, and then having spent the next couple of years writing a novel about how we behave under the shadow of slavery and racism. Racism is so much worse than death, you know, because death is inevitable and it is organic and there's nothing we can do about it. We just have to deal with it. Racism is something that, like, we tolerate and we are the beneficiaries of it sometimes without even thinking about it. And that is a much scarier thing.
Well, Ben Winter's new book is Underground Airlines. Ben, it's been such a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much.
An honor. Thank you very much.